You're listening to the Young Opportunist Podcast.
Hey guys, welcome back to the podcast. We are so excited for you guys to listen to this episode with one crazy and inspiring individual. In this week's episode, we had the pleasure of talking to Ethan Fleming, a content creator, educator, entrepreneur, and holds multiple Guinness World Records. Quickly, for our audience, let's talk about how we actually got him on the show.
Yeah, it was a pretty exciting process. We came across his Instagram and loved everything that he was about, getting out, doing physically hard challenges. So we DM'd him. And he actually got back straight away. So we had a really quick turnaround. And this is where we need to really think about how we're going to structure the episode and what we want out of the episode. So we took some inspiration from our episode with Justin Rosales. That was Ep 10. That went really, really well. And we kind of followed a similar approach.
So basically, that was all about pushing past your perceived limits and I guess constantly challenging yourself in a physical sense to develop and grow as an individual. And as you challenge yourself in a physical sense, it goes hand in hand with both your mental strength as well as, yeah, supports your broader life.
Exactly right.
So Reese, maybe talk our audience through what challenges he's actually done.
He has completed some of the most insane challenges over the past couple of years. Some of these include pulling a 2-ton Jeep Wrangler, 100 kilometers over 48 hours with 20 minutes of sleep.
I want everyone to just kind of sink in what Reese just said, because that is a marathon is 42 Ks. So double that, almost triple that, but insane, with a 2-ton car on your back.
Just pulling it at the airport of Melbourne. He has done the most burpees across 24 hours. That equated to 11,401. And cycling from Adelaide to Melbourne, totaling 800 kilometers over the course of 3 days. And might I just add, all of these challenges come with little to no training or preparation besides the Jeep Wrangler. One time he talked about listening to Goggins and then running a marathon the next week. I honestly die after I do 5 kilometers running like a 5:30 pace.
You die at 5 kilometers? I die on a one-minute wall sit, man.
And we talk about how crazy we're going to get it when we're nice and cozy in our bed. Mm. The next day comes around and we're little bitches.
Little bitches.
So what do we actually cover in this episode?
Advice on how to regain momentum and direction in your life, the real reason why you're lacking focus and constantly getting distracted, the one thing you need to do if you want to live a successful and fulfilling life, the difference between the feeling of pain and the suffering we attach to it, and Reese, hit us with the last one.
The reason why people leave so much on the table, both in a physical sense and more broadly in life, and how we can actually start living to our full potential.
Love it. This was a really special episode for us because basically it kind of connected every single principle that we've talked about with our most recent guests. Actually, basically all of our guests.
All of our guests.
Jamin, yes. Fraser, Justin Rosales, Richard Maloney, you name them. It kind of all got combined into this one episode. So we're really excited.
With all that said, we're really keen to get underway with this episode and we really hope you guys enjoy it too. Let's get underway with today's episode. Hey guys, welcome back to another episode. We are honored and excited to get on over this episode with Ethan Fleming. I came across him on Instagram. His page is full of crazy shit.
Crazy shit. Here he is just like pulling a Jeep, 100 Ks.
Constantly just doing these amazing physical challenges. So we're really keen to dive deeper into knowing what motivates you, what is your why, and everything in between. So welcome to the podcast.
Thanks, boys. Excited to be on.
So I guess before we dive into this, could you tell our listeners a little bit about who you are and yeah, how you got to where you are today?
Oh, all right. Well, I'll give you the short version. Growing up in, you know, school, I was a pretty bad kid in terms of my academic performance. I struggled to pretty much retain all information, but I learned pretty young that if you could stick at something long enough, you can still get a good outcome from it. And that's kind of been my mantra for life since, is I've realized that I may not have a lot of skill, but my skill is that I can do things for a really long period of time. That is turns into a disgusting event, as you probably have seen. Yeah. So look, that's the short version. Is like the narrative has been that I've really struggled to learn things. I've struggled with a lot of things, but I've found that skill set really young and I've been obsessed with developing that skill set since.
And does that translate to like focus as well? Like, have you really seen that you like improved your focus, whether that was with your business or like even back in school, like with work, like you just found you're able to focus? Cause like something that we've been talking about a little bit between me and Reese is like, especially in this day and age, where there's so many distractions on our phone, everything like that. If people can tackle the focus issue, then they're like at a whole nother level compared to everybody else, because people scroll on TikTok, Instagram, notifications popping up, everything like that.
Yeah, so I have like very severe ADHD. So focus and me do not get along, right? But what I do have is, you know, tips and tricks that I kind of follow to increase my focus. I'm a big advocate of what you can add in rather than take away. I think that when we try and take away things, like for example, remove social media or remove distractions, it is quite difficult to do. But if you focus on bringing things in, those things fall away. So for example, if you have passions and purposes and things that you're really striving towards, then going on your phone gets in the way of that. So the more clear you are and the more you have those things in your life, the more the other stuff fades away. So that's kind of how I look at focus, is what can I introduce to ruin the shit I don't want, basically.
That's really interesting, because we actually put up a post not long ago, and it was about like hardcore discipline, or like how do people get motivation. And we interviewed this guy called Jamin Fraser, who expert in insecurities, and he replied back and said like, this is terrible advice. And me and Reese like looked at each other and we're like, oh shit, what do we do? Like, this is the boss. Like,
yeah.
And basically he shared us this post, and we might share it with you as well, because I feel like you have a similar mantra. And it's, rather than self-discipline, it's self-permission. And it's kind of like connecting it to a bigger goal almost. So like, yeah, as you said, be really clear on what it is that you want to achieve and why you're on social media. It's not to scroll like Instagram, it's to actually use it as a tool.
Yeah, look, I've always struggled with social media, because like my brain is just like, oh, what's next? What flashy things are in front of me? Like I even went to check my phone when we were on this before. I'm like, Ethan, what are you doing, man? but when I think, coming back to what you said, is like clarity and introducing things that matter a lot to you, the stuff that doesn't matter as much will fade away if you're clear on that.
Yeah, I love that. So when we're doing our prep for the interview, we found that I guess before you started pushing yourself to do all these challenges and pushing yourself quite literally to the limits, you're at a place where I think a lot of people are today. You were training, you weren't really pushing yourself to your full potential. And I think a lot of us, including ourselves, we want to push ourselves to our full potential and push ourselves harder in the gym if that's what it is. So what advice would you give to those people right now who feel like they may be plateauing or lacking motivation right now? And how did you gain the motivation you have?
Well, don't have any motivation. That's for one. I'm pretty unmotivated, dude. I just have extremely crazy habits. Even dragging the Jeep 100Ks, which we spoke about before, it wasn't because I was just this motivated guy, you know, wake up at 3:30 just because I'm motivated. Like, it was, I just set a goal. I was really clear on the goal. I was really clear on why I wanted to achieve it. And then I reverse engineered it. And then I was just a big bore of habits for 9 months. But my advice actually comes back to clarity. Like, I think that, if you want to push your limits, you need to be clear on what you want to achieve and why. And I think that kind of principle applies to everything in achievement, not necessarily just exercise and physical performance.
Yeah.
A lot of my journey with doing crazy challenges, it's always kind of come back to that clarity. The ones that I have achieved, I was very clear on what they meant to me and why I wanted to do them. And the ones that I've failed at or haven't achieved, I lacked a lot of clarity.
We love that, because like that's exactly what we've been talking about as well, like the importance of setting the right goals, and not even in a physical sense, like you can take that in life as well. We with Jamin as well, we talked about, he had an episode of talking about like what games are you playing, and for us, we're at uni at the moment, and there's days where we're like, far out, I don't want to study, there's no way I want to go do a full day of work, go home and study on this like exam that I need to work on. But if you're right on the goals, if you nail down why you're there at uni and like why you're there to achieve getting a degree and securing a good job, then like what you said in a podcast before is like the how becomes irrelevant. And I love that quote. If you could repeat that and explain it as well.
Yeah, for sure. Well, the actual quote I think is, a man who knows his why can bear any how, which I love. Maybe not the man part, you know, a person these days. But I think it comes down to that. Like one of the things I do with people from a coaching perspective is before we go and work on the goals, we redefine what the goals are. But we take it a very deep layer. Like we look at who we are as individuals, what roles we want to play in the world, how do we want to show up in the world? You know, what does success look like to us? What does failure look like to us? That's how deep you need to go. Well, that's actually just breaking the surface. But you need to just keep going layers and layers and layers deeper until the goal is just so clear, and then the rest is history.
Well, what I thought was crazy was like you literally listen. You remember you said in a podcast, you listened to Goggins, and then like a week later or something, you decided to just do a marathon. No training. Like this is another
that's
one.
Proper Goggins mode.
Yeah, Goggins mode. So like, yeah, it was crazy how like you just being able to listen to him and then just say, all right, I'm going to give it a crack. I'm going to put it all on the table. I'm going to give it a crack.
Well, I remember when I listened to him, he did it because he did the 100Ks off no running training. Yeah. And I was like, I don't know if we're allowed to swear, but I was like, who the hell is this guy? Like, you know, if he could do 100Ks, like I could do at least 42. I think especially, you know, when I first started training like that, I had no fear. Where now I've got a little bit more fear because I've made a lot of mistakes. So I have to think things through a bit more. But one thing, that was the start of my journey, that marathon, because I went from just being a guy who lifted weights, you know, training healthy, whatnot, but then to hit a marathon, which I held as the, you know, the standard of fitness, like that is what people strive years to get, right? Yeah. And then I just bang one out. And I thought, if this average dude can just go bang out a marathon, what the hell are people, you know, missing in their life? And honestly, that has been the driver for me since. And it's like, okay, what else can I do off minimal training, or what else can I do with training? And the car was the first time I've gone, oh, look, I've done some stuff off no training. Let's see what I can do with actual prep, which was really exciting. And yeah, I'm disciplined. Yeah, I'm fit and all that crap. But it's every person is leaving so much on the table. And I think that was the lesson that I wanted to teach people. Like I will train clients for years and I'll be like, oh, I can't run a marathon. I'm like, Sharon, you're fitter than me, mate. Like you'd smoke me in a run and you're saying you can't run a marathon. So
it's crazy. Yeah, it's crazy that we put those kind of like limiting, I don't know if it's limiting beliefs in that aspect, but like, yeah, we do leave so much on the table. And imagine what our kind of full potential would look like. I know that David Goggins, I wonder if you've heard it as well. He talks about this kind of metaphor that he has, and it's like, whether you're spiritual or not, you believe in like a higher power, but he believes that, yeah, if he goes up after he passes away and sits across the table from, we can call it God, and before he became a Navy SEAL, he was like, yeah, what, like 280 pounds, like massive. I think he worked as a pest control person or something like that. Sitting across from the table, and then God like hands him a piece of paper. And he's like, this is what you could have been, like a Navy SEAL. You could have, like you ran 10 100-mile races, blah, blah, blah. And I guess that's the whole thing about reaching a full potential and how much we are leaving on the table at the end of the day.
Well, people always tell me they can't do something. I was like, have you tried? For example, like if I asked you, Reese, could you run 100Ks? You'd probably be like, oh, I don't know, man, or maybe yes. But I was like, well, have you failed at it? No, I haven't. Oh, how do you know?
Yeah.
So it's like, just go out and fail at it. If you make 60Ks, you still made 60Ks. That's amazing.
So before we dive in further into the combo, I'd love if you could just tell us a little bit about like what challenges you have done, because our audience would be fascinated by that as well.
Okay. All right. So I ran an, I've done a marathon. I've done a couple of marathons, but I've done a full distance Ironman triathlon with off literally nothing. Like I was just lifting weights and I was like, all right, next weekend we're going for it, which was a 180K ride, a 3.9K swim, and then a marathon to finish it off. I took a flight from Melbourne to Adelaide. This was off a week's notice. Grabbed a bike and I rode the bike all the way home. So that was 800Ks. And that was the hardest one.
Yeah, I heard your ass like saw some better days after that.
Yeah, it still hasn't. It's still it's been a rough road from that one. Look, I don't recommend not training for things. Don't get me wrong. Like I have a good sense of general physical preparedness, but because some of these things have left damages. But the moral of the story is that you can do more than what you think you can.
Yeah. Right?
Some of the other things, I've done burpees for 24 hours, which was 11,400. Dragged a car 100Ks, 2-ton car. What else? We've got a couple of Guinness World Records that are smaller challenges, but they're not my highlights. The highlights are the big, crazy ones.
Yeah, that's...
Yeah, even the one where you hopped in a canoe. Your YouTube videos are not so like... Yeah. I recommend our listeners go watch them, because they're actually entertaining, and you guys have some good skills on the camera.
Yeah, your content's really good. We wanted to say
thanks, man. It's a bit of a just like a personal hobby that I've enjoyed, tracking the challenges.
And the fan bike as well.
Oh, fuck that.
On the assault bike. Like, was that an hour? And how long?
I got it. Well, actually, a video that I filmed was only 5 minutes. There's max effort in 5 minutes, which if anyone's done an assault bike, it's a lot worse than it sounds. But I just broke a Guinness World Record and got approved for it literally a few days ago for an hour on the assault bike.
Congratulations. Cool. So, yeah, honestly, for someone that like listens to this episode, our audience, and hears all the crazy physical challenges you've done, they can easily excuse the possibility of themselves doing such challenges by saying like, oh, Ethan's just built different, you know, he's crazy, he's on another level. What would you say to this? And what is your inner deep level why?
What would I say to I'm just built different. I'm like, yes, I'm built different because I've spent 9 years building difference. But the actual difference that I've been building is just 1% every couple of weeks. And it's like compound interest. It just keeps going up, up and up and up. But I actually don't feel any fitter now than what I was 6 years ago. But my challenge that I did 6 years ago was a marathon, right? And the challenge that I did, you know, 6 months ago was 48 hours pulling a car. The fitness, the knowledge of, you know, training is the same, but my mindset is what changed. And my, I guess I hate the thing built different. It frustrates me. It's just someone who has wanted to push the boundaries. And if you wanted to push the boundaries, you'd find them too. You just got to have the intent.
And know your why and have that goal.
Yeah. Yes. And that's a big part of it. I feel I'm very in touch with what I want, why I want it. Like I have a spreadsheet with all of my values. I have those values into habits. I have those habits into actions. You know, I have a purpose written down. And I constantly look at those things regularly, almost like my own Ethan Fleming brand Bible. That's what I call it. And sometimes when I'm lost, or which is a lot, I look back on that and go, shit, like, mate, what am I not doing? How am I not showing up in the world that I need to change?
That's so good. Yeah. I think like we can all take a note from that. What goals for someone that like is unsure and says like, oh, I actually don't know what my values are or like what I want. Not only in fitness, but in life in general. I guess let's start with the fitness goal. What are some like good tangible goals that they can set themselves?
That question, right, it's hard to answer. How I would answer that is the reason you're not sure is you have not put actual solid time to get sure. That's right. For example, how much time have you spent on trying to do things or learn something, but how much time have you actually spent with yourself alone trying to understand yourself? And most people, it's like, oh, I wrote some gratitude in the journal for 3 minutes. It's like, whoop-de-doo. That's awesome. I love it.
Yeah.
You keep going, but I mean designated bloody time in your own brain for solid amount of time. That's where you're going to find clarity, not by just like putting here goals here and there. Yes, you may fall onto something, but you get real, real clarity from actually working at it. Like it's not something you just fall into. You don't just fall into your passion or purpose perfectly like everyone makes it out. You grind at it like anything else. You grind at it daily, try and work it out. What do I like? What don't I like? How do I want to show up in the world? How don't I want to show up in the world? What fills my cup? What doesn't, et cetera.
Yeah, it's being really deliberate with it. And I think I heard Jordan Peterson like in an interview say that like if you want to figure out what you want to change in your life and like improve, literally lay on your bed and ask yourself, what do I need to improve? And your brain will throw stuff at you, multiple things.
And honestly, we don't really spend a lot of time alone. Like I think that's the biggest
barely
thing you said. Like
barely. And when we're alone, are we even alone? We're on our phones.
On our phones. Yeah. So like when do we spend time alone? Like, you know, going for a walk in nature or like,
yeah, it's so true. Without a podcast on, like things like that.
I think that's probably the smallest thing you can introduce in the early days is like have designated time alone. You don't even have to have intent behind it. Just be alone in space.
And then time will tick over where sometimes like you might go for the first walk alone and nothing will pop into your head. At least you're allowing time for things to come into your head. And, you know, we've talked about this before about creativity. You know, thinking about your next idea as well, like, you're at least allowing yourself for something to come into your mind.
So me and Reese, we interviewed someone about like ice baths and cold exposure and Justin Rosales. And something that we really loved about the time in the ice bath is that it forced us to be with ourselves, and like body and mind almost had to connect. Otherwise you're going to like freeze your ass off or like overthink or freak out. So that was something that we really enjoyed about the ice bath, is that time that actually forced us to have like 10 minutes by ourselves with literally nothing in our heads, because you're focusing on like your body and like how cold you're feeling and things like that.
It forces you to be present. That's what I love about physical challenges, is it's pretty hard to worry about what you're going to have for breakfast tomorrow when you're in the shit, to put it bluntly, right? So that's why ice baths is kind of like a smaller version of that. It's like every day you get to have that moment with yourself where you're just 100% present. You're not worrying about what that person's saying behind your back or this person's doing over here when you're freezing cold, are you? All you're worrying about is not being cold.
That works perfectly with our next question. So we recently interviewed this guy. He's a mindset coach, Richard Maloney. He basically trains executives and athletes, professional athletes. And in our most recent episode, we talked about the importance of elite athletes being present in their game and almost reaching a flow state. So can you talk us through what being present is and what flow state means for you?
Okay. Yeah. So being present for me is probably the most important factor when it comes to physical performance, because when you're present, good things happen. The hardest part about being present when you're trying to explain it is the art of being present is to not think about it. So when you're people are like, oh, how do you be present? Like, well, you're actually always present. You just need to work. It's the other things that take you away from being present. Like present is your natural form in this world. Mm. So when you're thinking about something, you're not present, right?
Yeah.
So in exercise, one of the ways I get in touch with being present is breath, but it is practice. Like, for example, when you're on a run, it might be as simple as just, okay, how I'm going to be present in this moment is I'm just going to take note of nature. I'm going to focus on my breath and I'm not going to think. And when thoughts pop into my head, I'm just going to let them pass, but I'm not going to dwell on them. Mm-hmm. And the longer you do that, the longer you practice that, the easier it becomes and the longer stints you can go for. And there's times like which I've learned from those big challenges, is that if you're not present, you know, 24 hours into a challenge and you're thinking about the next 24 hours, you are not going to make it. Yeah. Like you have to just be like, ah, I get to drag a car on an airport. Like that's cool. Even if it's fake sometimes, you just have to just go with the flow and just be in touch. It is quite spiritual, but performance is just being there.
And does that relate to your concept of pain and suffering as well? We listened to the podcast you're on with Strength Culture. And how you said like pain is just the physical thing, but suffering is the little extra thing we complain about in the moment, you know, saying that, yeah. Oh, I've got 24 hours left or anything. Is that the same?
That's right. Yeah. So pain is what you feel. It's like if someone was to pinch you, but if someone was to pinch you and then you were to think about how horrible the pinch is, that's the suffering. Yeah.
Yeah.
So you're always going to have pain. That's a sensation. You cannot remove that, but it is 100% a choice to suffer. And that is the hardest thing. And that is the biggest challenge in physical performance, I believe, is that separating the two. And that only comes from practice. And it's the same thing with life as well. Like those principles apply in both.
You must have some demons like come out and talk to you when you're doing these challenges. I tell you what, like
I used to. Yeah,
I get demons when I'm doing like a 1 minute war sit and you know, I'm screaming that I need to get up and stuff. You're out here on a tarmac out at Melbourne Airport dragging this 2-ton car. When you say you used to, was it really bad at the start? And then, as you said, once you've done it more and more,
I used to
know how to put them away.
Yeah, look, the demons are always there, right? But I think in my first few years of doing crazy challenges, if we're calling that, I used to use fear and a lot of like Goggins mentality to push through. But if you think about pushing through, that is implying that it's bad and that we need to keep going through the bad. Where now I'm like, I live for this crap, man. Like this is what I'm here to do. And yes, there's going to be negative thoughts, but it's actually like leaning into the fact that this nothing is nor good or bad. It just is what it is.
Mm.
And I think that's why it's this journey for me has been like understanding that it's not bad. This is fun. I'm choosing to do this. Don't complain about it. So the demons are there less. Yes, there's 100% though, that aside, there's times where I want to, you know, During the car event, the first hour, I was thinking about maybe diving my head into the concrete to end it because I was like, I don't think I can do this. I was so scared of the next 48 hours. During the burpees, I was like, do I fake an injury? Like, there's a million demons. They just come up less often.
Yeah.
So, and you were sleep deprived as well. You went on for 48 hours, right? That's how long it took you to drag the car, pull the car. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I had 20 minutes of sleep, which was a shocking sleep. But 20 minutes of sleep over the 48 hours. So we started 10 a.m. on a Wednesday and finished Friday around just under 11 a.m. It was rough.
Holy shit. Do you use like self-talk a lot while you're doing these things?
Yeah, so I use a concept called cruise or kill. Ross Edgley talks about it a bit, but I've kind of taken it one step further. So cruising is all the times where I'm just like, be present, you know, like enjoy the moment. But there's times where you've got to kill. And that's when you can start bringing out like, what am I meant to do on this earth? How do you want to be remembered? What would your mum say if you quit? Like, that's when you can get out the, you know, the real raw shit, to put it bluntly.
Yeah, I love
so
that.
So, yes.
Because, yeah, a lot of people that are doing extreme things, they do lean. That is something that they have to lean on as well. Like, obviously, they can't do that for every minute of an event. Like, I know that Nick Bear, I don't know if you've seen him, but he, like, yeah, massive dude, but also runs, like, fucking 100 miles. He's crazy. But, yeah, he says that he leans into that side at those moments. So, but he also says that he breaks it down just to one step at a time, which I think you kind of leaned on before, and not being overwhelmed with it all. And that translates to like life as well. Take it a day at a time, get that 1% every week, and that compounds to where you are today.
Yeah, I mean, it's like building anything, building podcasts, building a business, right? If you're constantly thinking about the end outcome all the time, it's exhausting and you're always going to be under that. So you're going to have this gap and you're going to feel negative about yourself, where your performance is. But that's why you've got to set the goal first, right? And then work your way backwards and then just micro goal.
Yeah, tick them 100%. Off, move on. You previously said that you learned everything in business from physical training, fundamentals of progression, immersing yourself in the uncomfortable, and being transparent with yourself and others. I think we can learn so much from pushing past our so-called perceived limits, both physically, but more importantly, in our careers and even like in our life in general. So what have you learned about yourself when doing these challenges, both physically, but also in broader life?
Ooh, lots. Some of my favorite ones, I think the first, I'm going to mention it again, but is clarity. So any physical challenge that requires a lot of work and effort needs to have a clear why. And I think that is directly applies to every other personal achievement. Anything else I've done in my life has come from having a clear why. And anytime things haven't gone my way, it's because I don't. So I'm going to drill that one into this podcast, is being very, very clear on your goals. More importantly, are they true goals? Are they someone else's goals that have been given to you? Are they your parents' goals or are they your goals? You need to get very clear on that. Some of the other things, like pain never lasts, bad times never last. I think that when you do these big, crazy challenges, you have moments which is nuts, right? You'll be 24 hours into a challenge and you'll be in the worst state of your life, thinking like, how can you go on? And then an hour later, you're having a laugh and it's hard to explain until you've lived it, but that is kind of like life, isn't it? Right. It's like one day you're contemplating like, what am I here for? Or, you know, what am I doing with my life? Am I wasting my time? And the next day, like, I've got shit together. I know what's going on.
Yeah.
All right. And it's about writing those ups, writing those downs, and just knowing what we're working towards and why. So those are probably my two biggest lessons from that. The rest is just practice.
Yeah, I love that. And it all kind of comes down to, we talk about heaps in the podcast, and it's like loving the process, because it is a process. And I remember hearing this quote and I was like, did you really think that every day was going to be a good day? Like, that should never even be a thought.
Yeah, that's not life.
Yeah, that's not life. So when there is a down day, like, you just got to ride it. Yeah. So Reese and I have also been talking a lot about this idea that there's almost like a disconnect between what you want and then what your brain will like kind of let you achieve. I know we all have experienced this in a way or another. So whether that's like when you're pitching an idea and like, I don't know, your body like clogs up and like you can't get an idea out or you can't speak. And whether that's when you're going for a run or willingly submerging your body in ice, things like that. And for you, you've taken that to a whole nother level where you're pulling a Jeep or on an assault bike. How are you able to actually push through these thoughts of self-doubt? I know that you've said that you've worked on this over a long period of time, but I know there's probably a lot of people that are listening to this that may have self-doubt. And yeah, is there any advice that you'd give to them?
Yeah. So, I mean, this with that question, right, there's two parts to that. There's the self-doubt part, and then there's fighting resistance. Those are two different things. Self-doubt is lack of confidence in the sense that, like, you think you're not going to achieve it. I think that comes from achieving things and trying small micro goals and building up, like, again, compound interest, same thing. Now, the fighting resistance part is really interesting. So doing the things that is uncomfortable, right? That's why I started this other business called Chasing Hard, which is about chasing the hard thing. Mm. And there's a direct correlation between things that we would perceive as good coming through things that we would perceive as bad or hard, right?
Yeah.
Which there is. You look at anything in life, what we would perceive as good and preferred, like having financial freedom or whatever it is, usually comes from giving something away or leaning towards the uncomfortable.
Yeah, yeah.
So there's a lesson there. Like, that is a cheat sheet to life, isn't it? It's just, yeah. So how do we get better at that? By just leaning towards it all the time in every possible way, and we just build confidence with it. And there's no short answer to that. Like, there's no cheat sheet to that. It's just doing the uncomfortable as often as you bloody can.
Yeah, that is a place where it's going to promote growth. And, like, that's where it's going to bring the best out of you individually if you're constantly doing that. And you're never going to grow if you stay comfortable where you are, stay in the same job, don't take, like, estimated, educated risks when you need to. And
it's everything. It's even eating healthy, right? Like, eating healthy is hard, to have a good body. Saving's hard, to have financial freedom. Like, having hard conversations is hard to get the outcomes you need. You know, not having hard conversations is hard because then you haven't spoke up. Like, it's so everything true. It's like, oh, I want this. What hard things do I need to do? So you can almost just draw a line between the good and all the hard. And then as soon as you understand that concept, you stop thinking of them as good or hard. There's just one thing, right?
I love that. And yeah, that is the key, because that will promote, obviously, yeah, the most growth. But yeah, it's difficult to do in the first place, but it reaps so many rewards. So if you do lean into it, then, like, if you can get into a habit of leaning into it, then, like, fuck, you fucking
clocked it.
Yeah.
Clocked life. Yeah, 100%.
And when you say, like, good or hard, you just look at them as one. It's because you know you just have to do it anyways, right? It's not hard because it's just the way it is. Is that what you're referring to?
Yeah, that's right. So it's like having a cold shower. Well, cold shower is a good example because it's something you can do every day and it gives you good practice towards something that no doubt is uncomfortable every single morning. And that does not go away, I promise you. Yeah. But the benefit of feeling clear afterwards and whatnot, right? That's just so knowing the cold shower is hard for the good benefit you feel afterwards. But after a period of time, you stop thinking the cold shower is hard and bad. It just becomes the good cold shower or the cold shower that you do, right?
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
100%. Yeah. It's just something that you got to do if you want to get that, if you want to feel clear.
They blend.
Benefits. Yeah.
Yeah. They blend together after a long enough period of time. Your brain will create a connection that the bad is the good, and then it just becomes the thing.
Because even for me personally, like, I've been trying to do a cold shower every morning, even if that's like, just as soon as I wake up, I kind of, like, just jump straight into a cold shower. Don't even get hot first. And I feel bad if I don't do it. Like, and then I've given up, as you said, the clarity that you feel after and the awakeness you feel after. And then you're like, fuck me, the days are ruined. Like, even though I did it, like, even though it was difficult and my body didn't want to do it, my brain already understands that, like, there's so many benefits that'll come from it as well.
Yeah. Yeah. And then now you've created a habitual routine where you feel bad about it if you don't, which then creates the accountability level. And that's what we want to work towards is, but you value it as a person, but then maybe you value yourself as a person who doesn't give up on things that you said you would do. And then that's just like, it just gets deeper and deeper.
Yeah. I've heard Tom Bilyeu talk about like the identity and if you want to kind of transform, and he calls it, like, talks around, like, neuroplasticity and where your brain can literally transform from one place to another if you want to kind of start achieving bigger goals. And he talks about, like, these identity statements. So it's like, I'm the type of person that, like, insert whatever it is. So, like, I'm the type of person that does hard things, or I'm the type of person that gets 8 hours sleep. Like, I don't know, like, those type of things. And if you keep on repeating that over time, and even looking at it every single morning, if that is, or every single day, and create values around the type of person that you want to be, even though you may not actually be the person right now.
Yeah. So that's something I do with a lot of customers and clients is that we look at our values, right? So for example, my value might be health and fitness, but then how do I show up in the world from a habitual point of view? So I eat clean every day. I walk 10,000 steps, et cetera. So defining the value and then turning it into habitual statements, like kind of like what Tom's saying, is everything. It builds our foundation.
And like you need to believe it at the end of the day as well. You can say all these things and like say that you're the type of person that sticks with everything. But if you don't truly believe it and you know who you need to be that person, like you're not going to be it, if that makes sense.
Back to that kind of like setting realistic expectations, but also holding yourself accountable in your actions.
Yes.
Yeah. So that you can say the things, but you've got to actually kind of hold yourself accountable.
And comes back to that clarity statement as well.
It does. Yeah.
The circle. We just touched on it there, but we've heard Joe Rogan and like Cameron Haynes and David Goggins talk about the importance of getting after like hard shit because you find out what you're really made of. So you mean I'm really self-aware, your weaknesses come to the surface, so you kind of have to address them. And recently I've also been fascinated with the idea of being comfortable with the uncomfortable and the flip side of that where our modern lives are almost too comfortable. There was a book written called The Comfort Crisis, which I'm not too sure if you've read, but we've heard a couple of podcasts of the author talking about it and we love this idea and it's so true. Like our modern world is so comfortable that it's so important that people start introducing discomfort into their lives. Could you talk us a little bit about like what your thoughts are on, I guess, this comfort crisis?
Well, what I was saying before about you need to do the hard to get the positive outcomes, right? Well, there's the complete flip side to that is if you do the comfortable, you get the bad outcomes. So the crisis we're in is because we don't do the hard, we get the bad. If we did the hard, we'd get the good. So that is the comfort crisis. So you can look at all the things that are easy and have instant gratification attached to them, like going on your phone instead of working on your business. Where does that end us up? Eating the bad food instead of eating the good. Where does that end us up? So all of the quick, good, comfortable wins give us the outcomes we don't want, but all the hard little things that we don't want to do give us the outcomes we do want. So we just got to lean towards those hearts.
Is this the answer to life? Like,
it's honestly, a cheat sheet, isn't it?
Yeah, 100%.
Yeah, I think it is such a hidden gem that we can look towards. And if we reframe our mindset to go, that's uncomfortable. Oh, yes, that's uncomfortable. I'm winning, right? We just got to look towards it as that.
Because Simon Sinek talks about the same thing, like these awkward conversations that and these hard conversations, whether that's talking to your boss and like you think in your mind that you're deserving of a pay rise or a promotion. That's an awkward, hard conversation that you want to have with your boss or like talking to your parents or your friends or loved one about, you know, something that's been on your mind saying that like, you know, if you bottle it up and don't have those hard conversations, it's going to end you up in a bad place. So like it relates everywhere in life, not only a physical sense, which is crazy. And it's
everywhere.
It's really, in theory, it seems so easy. Like it's the answer.
It's the hardest possible thing. That's what makes it so awesome. It's just that's why so many people can't do it because the most obvious thing is that you need to do the hard things, but no one wants to do hard things. So just got to chase hard things.
Yeah. So I guess that's how people can, I guess, level up their life today. Almost is take some of the things that I guess we've already discussed about in this interview. Around introducing difficult things, whether that is just a 30-second cold shower at the end of your shower, and lean in towards that. And I love that idea of creating almost a habit, or it all comes down to values. And like, if you have strong values, your mind is gonna like your morals will come out. And like, if you're not doing a certain thing, that your mind will kind of
pull yourself up,
or an alarm will go off.
The hard thing with values as well, right, is what feels wrong to us is means things aren't in our values. For example, if I didn't value family, I would probably act in a way that didn't do things that were good from a family point of view, right? But if I valued money, I'd make probably better money decisions. The hard thing about values is not every value is inherently good. So it's our value systems we have to change. And the things in our value system that are maybe wrong, they're the ones that are hard. So it's about introducing small little micro things you can do to then shift those values.
What would those micro things that fix those bad habits, like what do they actually look like in a practical sense?
So I think from my point of view, health and fitness is something that's really ingrained in my value system. It's something that I absolutely love and adore. I would never do anything to disrespect that. It's very easy for me because I've worked on those values, where something I haven't as much in the past has been something like family. So for me, a micro goal there is like, I call my mom once a month, which sounds so easy to most people, but for me, I always forget. So I've had to set up like a little calendar reminder and everything. And that's just an example of that. If something isn't in your value system, like naturally, you have to really work at it at a micro level. Mm-hmm.
This episode has been unreal.
Yeah.
We've got so many practical tips that we can take away from this. And I think that like, it's really good for our audience to be clear on what they want in life and know your North Star to work towards, not only in a physical sense, but also in broader life and career and understanding why you're at university and doing your apprenticeship and everything like that. So just to one last note for our audience, where can they find you?
You could literally just pop in Ethan Fleming into anywhere and you'll find me. I've done a good job of making sure I pop up first.
And definitely everyone check out that your YouTube channel, because your videos there are a good laugh and it's crazy what you're doing. Keep it up. We're looking forward to your next challenge. I saw on Instagram that you're looking to jump on the stair climber, go the distance of or the height of Everest.
Fucking hell.
That's right. Yeah. So the next one is the elliptical or the stair climber thing. And it's about 6 hours of just stair climbs. So that'll be fun.
That's insane. And I don't know if we've let you know before, but yeah, we're heading down to Melbourne in November-ish. And yeah, we'd love to, whether that's an ice bath or a little workout, we'd love to meet.
Workout? Are you kidding? After this conversation, there's no little workout now.
The biggest gym workout of my life.
Awesome.
Mad. All right. Thanks again, man. And we'll catch you soon.
All right. Cheers, boys.
We hope you enjoyed today's episode. And if you want to stay up to date with what's new, remember to press follow on your chosen podcast platform.
You can find us on Instagram and LinkedIn at Young Opportunist. Once again, thanks for listening.
Catch you next time.